Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called Blue Magnetic Eagle, and it is the first day of the Blue Eagle Wave Spell. And there we can rest our attention because some of the other aspects of natural time are pretty chaotic still, coming out of having a 29th day of February leap day. It is really aberrational within the Mayan consideration of time because we do not suddenly incorporate leap day into either the Zolk'in or 13 moon calendars. It's just a gap. I talked about it extensively last podcast, and I'm going to refer you to the leap day edition of Natural Time if you want to review what happened that day, why it doesn't have any bearing to our considerations here. But coming out of it, there's sort of this like a headache aftermath that we have to integrate. So that's why I haven't launched into what day of the galactic moon it is yet. I can say that we're in Blue Magnetic Eagle, being the first day of a new wave spell, and everything that was sort of, I thought the White Wind wave spell was pretty epic. It was long. It lasted a long time. And now we're finally emerging into a whole new dynamic, the Blue Eagle tribe. And I'll come back to that. That's where I want to put a lot of attention. But we have to kind of clear through some wreckage that was leap day. First of all, I'm not against leap day. This is not any slight on having another day every 4 years. It's always fun, though, to follow 28-day moons or 28-day months in the 13 moon calendar to experience February each year. When it's not 29 days long, is to kind of be like, oh, look, February is aligned with natural time. It's like sneakily indigenous because it is a shorter month and it is evenly 4 weeks. And that small amount of evenness, I think, creates a lot of harmony for people. Just like, oh, look, March 14th and February 14th are separated by 4 weeks. They both fall on a Tuesday. I'm not sure that's correct, but you know, this sort of sense of like, yeah, that makes sense. It's easy to remember. It's not chaotic, like throwing 2 and 3 days at the end of our regular Gregorian months. So we missed that opportunity this year because the 29th day. And I think then I also do a big scramble because it only happens every 4 years to try to remember myself and articulate, like, what are the reverberations? So the sizable reverberation, I don't really address this in the podcast, but each of the 7 days of the week, as we consider it in natural time, meaning a 28-day moon or month has 4 weeks. I always talk about the blue week in the West, so you might have that as the focal point of understanding that we have week-long segments within the moon. There's 7 days, clearly. That's why we call them a week. And each of those 7 days represents one of the chakras. And this is something that Jose Arguelles clearly improvised to a degree. I mean, I think he was looking at Mayan teachings and connecting how they had reverence for certain energy points in the body, and he was orchestrating this sort of mystical threading from the east to the west because he knew certainly about chakras and also Zen meditation, which informs some of the language of the anglicized versions of our tones. But in any case, he threw the chakras into the mix. And so each week of 7 days. We move through the seven chakras in this manner. The first day of a natural time week is always the crown chakra. The second day is the root chakra. So we're not doing the chakras linearly, meaning from, you know, first to seventh or seventh to first, running up and down our sort of spinal column, the way chakras are shown to be laid out along our spine. Instead, we're doing something circular. So listen to how this works. Day one, first day of the week, is crown at the top, and the second day is at the root at the bottom. So picture that connection not to be a line, but like a half circle. So we're curving around from this image of the highest chakra down to the lowest, and then we're going to circle back up to the third eye. It's much easier to see this in my books, but I'm what you have right now, so I'm happy to bridge this. You could Google it. It's the chakra spiral of the natural time calendars. So again, we start in the crown, day one, day two, root chakra, day three, back up to our sixth chakra, the third eye. Day four, we're going to jump down to the sacrum, the chakra that just above the root chakra, the second chakra. And then we move back up to the throat and down to the solar plexus, and we end every week in the center of our chakras, the heart chakra, which is really poignant. I really love this because we always start at the crown chakra, which is like we receive from our crowns, from our highest source, as each of us perceives it, and then it was brought down into our root chakra, where we are sort of settled here and aligned with Earth. And then it spirals, and we finish in our heart. We build on all of this connection between heaven and earth until we arrive at the center and holism in our heart. So each of the 7 days moves through the chakras in this fashion. So up until leap day, July 26th of 2019, when our 13 moon year began, was a Friday. So Friday has been the beginning point of our 7-day chakra spiral, our 7-day week, and we would, you know, every Friday would be crown chakra day, and every Saturday would be root chakra day, and every Sunday would be third eye day, and so on. And that means that the weeks always end on a Thursday, and Thursday is the heart chakra day, which is cool because you will see the patterns. I don't really spit this out every podcast, but I live it myself. Like, oh, it's a heart chakra day. Like, what do we attend to in a heart chakra day? What is the tone of a heart chakra day? Well, it's going to be specific to our feelings of loving connection with ourselves, the strength of our heart, and how we feed ourselves from our, you know, the suppleness of how we love ourselves, and then also how we love others and who loves us and how others love, even if we're not in the equation. Like, it's a heart chakra moment globally, universally. And the same with the crown chakra day, which I think has a really specific feel. I mean, each day has a specific feel, but you start to see like the synchronicities or karma of like a throat chakra day. It is hard to articulate things, or it's suddenly you can't stop talking, or, you know, you see a friend struggling because that's their core issue. And those days are hard for them, even if it's not about communicating, it's just, it's their weakness. So one observes, if, you know, willing and able to add this to your docket of how you follow and experience the synchronicities of natural time, the chakras are apart. Because of leap day and losing, just losing the rhythm, now the natural time week begins on Saturday. So Saturday is our crown chakra day. The natural time week now ends on Friday. Friday is our heart chakra day. And I'll just say it in case anyone's listening and needs to like make a note, you know, so you can figure out your chakras if you didn't even know about them. I don't know if I've spoken about them in a really long time here. So if it's new information, then just think about it this way. Write this down. Saturday is now the beginning of our week and it's a crown chakra. Sunday is going to be the root chakra. Monday is the third eye and Tuesday is the sacrum. And then Wednesday, we will have the throat chakra. Thursday, our solar plexus chakra. And Friday, the heart chakra. I want to say that the solar plexus chakra days can also be pretty universally challenging. Power is something that I think we struggle with as a humanity. And that's why I always feel that the heart chakra day is earned. Because if we say now that Thursday is the solar plex chakra day, we have stuff to process, perhaps, about power, blockages of power. And then, you know, we work through that to a degree, and then we arrive, maybe it's a relief to be back in our hearts, where a lot of us have more agility, or at least more appetite for agility, than sorting out, you know, how to be more or less powerful, depending on our gender, ethnicity. You know, there's a lot of societal pressures put on us to diminish or fortify ourselves based on sort of DNA identity. Okay, so that's one really big piece of business that you didn't even know we had to attend to, but I had to, and so I want to share it. And then likewise, we get an extra day in the galactic moon. We got an extra day in the white wind wave spell. Maybe that's why it seems so long. It was 14 days long somehow, because we had this sort of absence, and yet a placeholder day on February 29th, which was, you know, there was blue magnetic monkey and then nothing, no description for a day, and then yellow spectral human. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Saturday was the 29th. So Friday, blue planetary monkey, we go to sleep ready for the wave to break. This highest peak of the wave is planetary, and we want to wake up to a relief, a descent, a return to Earth. And, you know, by some paranormal description or ideological excuse, because, you know, we could just blow through February 29th in resistance to the natural times dismissal of it and be like, no, it's a spectral day no matter what. But I'm in a quasi mystic who's also like been a very good obedient student in all my years of schooling. I just sort of do what I'm told and make adaptations. So I did what I was told, and I experienced it as a day that didn't have natural time affinity. I took it as like a perfect retrograde remembrance of 20 years ago when I didn't have any Zolk'in or 13 moon. I had no wave spells in my system. And so I waited sort of, I think, patiently. It was a little bit like a break from being a quasi-mystic. And I just took a day. And then I jumped in on yellow spectral human the Sunday, and I think it did feel good to have that spectral energy at last. It's like waiting to birth a baby, or maybe to menstruate, which is a metaphor only some listeners will understand. So now we get an extra day because of the extra day in the white wind wave spell, and the extra day between, you know, February and March, we get an extra day in the galactic moon. Leap day is always going to be in the galactic moon. So every 4 years, the galactic moon, it takes 29 days to elapse. And so it will not end until Friday, because I'm always really clear, like, and then Friday is our new moon. The new moon begins, not the new moon in the sky, but our month moon in the 13 moon calendar. But nope, it starts on Saturday, sometime in March. I think that's the 7th, actually. The other thing that's, you know, coming this week is it will go out of retrograde on the 8th of March, which is Sunday, and it is going to then be the second day of the solar moon, which I'm also going to speak about. This is a big, heavy, fat podcast. Fat as in, like, really ripe, bursting. So let's make sure I cover all that. We're halfway there. Okay, I think it's the most important thing to talk about, even though we're in the Blue Eagle wave spell, is for me to just get this out of my system, that the solar moon, I felt like we had a little glimpse on the solar moon last Thursday, February 27, when we had White Solar Dog, because it was a really intensely fast-moving day with that fire, solar, the solar tone, the ninth of 13 in our wave spell formation, is when this wave that we are feeling building beneath us and we're riding to the sky is on fire, and we're on fire. We can suddenly, the reason it's called solar is to identify that we are communicating at the speed and strength of sunlight. We can get a sunburn even though the sun is millions of miles away, because it is such an incredibly powerful force. And we kind of live in a version, a human version, an incarnated version of that strength, that we're little sunbeams in the solar tone. Sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's 28 days, sometimes it's a year. When it's a day, it can really feel fiery. I think when it's 28 days, as I recall from other solar moons in past years, a lot gets done. There's a lot of advancement. Things ping a lot, you know, meaning our minds are active, maybe our bodies get fired up. There is this, you know, sort of extraordinary efforting that's also effortless to say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I want. I mean, we're supposed to, I think, be able to identify, if we follow natural time, that we're saying it to the sun, to our God, to our perceived God, to our sense of a higher power. But lots of people don't follow the calendar and still get really revved up, charged up. It's when spring is awakening. So it correlates with every plant life form responding to the sun and getting strength, and we are the same. So I'm mentioning it right here before I would forget or run out of time, because it's a real tonal change. The galactic moon is like a pause to integrate. It's as if we're just automatically ascending this wave like an escalator. Like, we don't have to move our limbs or push anything uphill to ride our way to the sky. That work has been done, and we participated in our own engagement with this wave form earlier in the year. And the galactic moon is when we sort of take stock and attend to details, so that we are, I like to use the word whole, like as in holism, that we become whole on the journey rather than ravaged by any part of the journey, rather than still broken from before when the journey began. And again, these are like psychic wounds or physical wounds or just, you know, family of origin karma that makes us like still pretty scattered in our souls or in our personalities. And we take the galactic moon every year as it rolls around. It's connected, like the galactic moons sort of connect to one another, and we keep working on making harmony in ourselves, and that beautifully reflects into harmony with parts of the outside world, whether it's one individual or a small collective or the entirety of, you know, human civilization, I mean, or anywhere in between, or both, or all. But the galactic moon is unifying and harmonizing, and it is a time of integrating and becoming people who have integrity. And then we take off, we blast off. Like, that is a perfect sort of departure point for making this big leap of faith and passion arising and saying, ah, the solar tone allows me to speak the language of the sun. I would like to see this happen in my life. It's about setting intentions. And yet we don't set the intention at the beginning of the year like a New Year's resolution. We work through all aspects of self and other as, you know, is karmically ordained for the year, is indicated. And then now, after 8 moons, 8 of 13, well over halfway, we are finally in the right condition to say, well, you know what, after doing all that work, self-study, and seeing what's going on around me, and lifting myself out of where I was stuck, having a bigger perspective, this is what my intention is. It's going to be pretty different, maybe, than it was back in what we call July and August when the magnetic moon was here. On the other hand, it could be the exact same thing, but you speak the language of the sun now. Back then, in the first moon of the year, I'll use my example. It's always like, I wish I had a boyfriend. And, you know, back in the magnetic moon, I probably really wish I had a boyfriend. But I hadn't been through all the twists and turns of self-understanding or introspection, and also estimating, like, what's happening in the world that influences my desire or outcome to have a boyfriend? Or, you know, what else do I want? It's not the only thing I want. And in fact, if I use myself as an example and make this like joke metaphor true, I would say, yeah, you know, back in the beginning of the year, I definitely was thinking about how nice in the magnetic moon of a magnetic year, and, you know, the first year of a 13-year wave spell, it would be sure cool to have a partner. And, you know, I still feel that way, and I see some evidence, you know, maybe pointing in that direction, actually, but I mostly am like, but, you know, it's not like all I want, and it's not like, oh, I can have anything I want. I'm just aware, like, of course I want that, and yet, you know, I have all these other things that have appeared in this magnetic year that are really important to me, and I value them and myself for, you know, choosing to have a diversified life rather than one where I just hunger for what I think I lack. So that's why I feel like if we move into the solar moon and I'm still like, yeah, I want a boyfriend, it has like a different tone than I want a boyfriend. It's I want one. Yeah. And you feel the vitality of my theatrical presentation. I want a boyfriend. Sounds really like more like enlightened speak than I wish I had one. I think I'm done doing that. Small skit for you. So that's the change we're making this week from galactic to solar, the shift. And then I want to make sure you understand something about the Blue Eagle wave spell, although this is day one and I don't pretend to understand that much in the beginning. But here are the things that I know. It's a magnetic day in a magnetic year. When we come to these magnetic days, we can get a glimpse into exactly what I just referenced. Like, this is the first year of 13. Now we're in the first day of 13. What am I being reminded about this year's odyssey for myself on this magnetic day? And similarly, yesterday was White Cosmic Wizard, and it was a White Wizard Day within a White Wizard year. It's White Magnetic Wizard. That's the name of our year. And yesterday we got to have a little, like, doubling of energy around White Wizard and discover or be reminded, like, what's this year all about, this White Wizard year? I want to quickly say that we had pretty big primaries in the United States, and I live in California. We had our primary. I saw really clearly, because it was a White Wizard day and a White Wizard year, the way this primary election is going. I wouldn't at all expect it to change from the indications of yesterday. And I felt a little bit of personal grief. But I also found it really acceptable because it was a White Wizard day in a White Wizard year, that starting of 13-year White Wizard wave spell. I was like, well, I think it's the truth. I don't think there's any way to be all like, I don't know if this will probably change. No, I don't think so. I think there is going to be one Democratic candidate, and he is actually a white lunar world bridger, which doesn't have anything to do with White Magnetic Wizard, but the year of the election is lunar, just like Joe Biden. So I've seen that from the very beginning and wondered what it all means. I won't go into a political discourse this time. We don't have enough minutes. But Blue Eagle, then, here I'm speaking from Blue Eagle, and I think you can tell that maybe there's some heady information, got kind of scholastic about the chakras. I am giving you big visionary pictures of how the calendar lies, you know, the lessons of the calendar. But also, I told you about the 13-year wave spell again. We haven't touched on that in a few podcasts. That's the Blue Eagle higher mind. So there's been so much great research, you know, to help those of us who could be classified as mentally ill understand that some of us just get lodged in our lower mind, and then, you know, others of us are trying to reach to our higher mind to compensate. Lower mind, you know, if I call it that, is just the serpentine hungers, appetites, compulsions that come out of self-serving needs to survive, the survivalistic part of our brain, the amygdala. But Blue Eagle is not that. Blue Eagle is the higher mind, and it's the greatest wisdom that we hold as human beings, that we can have a visionary view even if we're, you know, less than 6 feet tall. We can't fly. You know, we can get an airplane, but we don't have this ability to do what birds do. But our minds really function in that capacity of seeing things from a grand scale, incorporating a lot of detail. And so this is the time of celebrating the mind, and it is a time of celebrating bird life. So what does that mean? It's like eagle. I'm never going to see an eagle in the sky. I mean, they're practically extinct, and they're really far, far away when they're flying. But there's lots of hawks and vultures. And then there's the birds singing for spring, and they're not eagles. They're just little wrens. Those count. Seabirds count. I think that, like, flying insects count. It's just a time of celebrating those in flight. Absolutely, we can go with the eagle specifically, but it just implies the ability to take off in the air, which is why it's very poignant, really, that it follows the white wind wave spell, because a lot of us started to feel like particles of air over these last 13 to 14 days. There's something nice about living in the air because it's pretty heavy to be super planetary, super earthy. To have a moment when we can be part of the sky is, I think we could get used to that. So we get another 13 days. Basically, we ride the currents of white wind right into the sky ourselves. And the last thing that I think is really important for you to start to understand, and it's like super emotional, like I'm not going to cry, but I just, it's like, it is a heart chakra thump, you know, just like, God, to pass through these Dzogchen processes is so poignant because we're coming to the end of the Dzogchen. There's the Blue Eagle wave spell that begins today, 13 days, and then the Yellow Star wave spell that follows. And very, you know, very succinctly, it's like we go from riding the currents of the wind into the sky as the eagle, and then we just keep going until we're a star. And that is the fulfillment of the Dzogchen process. And then, you know, 26 days from now, it's the beginning of the new Dzogchen. And let me tell you, it is harder to begin them than to end them. And I don't mean it's, you know, catastrophically hard to begin, but it's a different experience. Things are loose and earned. You know, our surrender has been cultivated over 260 days. When we finish the Dzogchen, there is a magic that is the result of a lot of spiritual laboring. And spiritual laboring is just the seed that includes emotional laboring and physical laboring and mental laboring. But, you know, in terms of dealing with karma as it arises in the process of examining the Dzogchen wave spells and living them, we start in the thickness of something that needs to be dealt with in ourselves or our lives around us that, you know, attaches to ourself, we're influenced by it. And we get through it. We get through it. And at the end, there is spaciousness, which equals air and riding on air currents and rising right in the sky to be this brilliant, you know, gem that is part of the cosmos. So I'm not saying that Blue Eagle is going to be easy all the way, because we have a lot of mind games and we overthink and we're in our heads already as a humanity. But here we are. You know, these are very rich final wave spell moments. And I'm glad that I got to podcast today, because it is not fun to be human sometimes in the middle of a coronavirus, like increased anxiety feed. And those of us who love and support candidates that are gone from the political landscape, or going or fading. You know, there's just, there's something to let go of. So it was nice to stop in here and feel the fullness of our path. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, In La Keshe.